morning, everyone. Well, my name is Jeff Hickman, and I am one of the ministers here at the North River Church of Christ. I've been here about 13 years with my wife, Christy, and my two amazing daughters, Hannah and Ella Grace, and grateful to be able to worship with you in this new way. Definitely a little different with no one immediately in front of me, but I'll do my best to connect. Grateful to have the kids with us. Hope you're hanging in, and hopefully you're ready to jump in the Word of God with us. And we're going to continue our series on fixing our eyes on Jesus. Is there no better time for that than now? I mean, this is a time for us to really, really stay focused on that which is eternal, and that is our Lord Jesus. And obviously, if you've been with us, you know that typically this is a month where we celebrate Women's Month, and we have often had our sermons this month have been focused on women. We've had to make a little bit of a pivot, and we're really focusing in on this concept of, yeah, we need to fix our eyes on Jesus, but we need to have simplicity also during this time of uncertainty. And that's our focus, to really focus in on what we can simplify in our lives. But I have some late breaking news, all right? I just found this out. So we got late breaking news. Are you ready? I'm going to do my Michelle Wright reporter kind of thing right here. But we had a women's event yesterday, and over 2,500 people viewed it on Facebook. And so that kind of generated a lot of discussion. And so some of the women got together, and the brothers kind of decided to have weekly coffee talks, virtual coffee talks on our Facebook page. And that's going to start happening on Saturday mornings at 10 o'clock. So if you want to go ahead and put that on your calendar, so next Saturday morning, 10 o'clock, going to have kind of the first coffee talk. Our first speaker is going to be a sister of ours who's in the church in Milan, Italy. Her name's Rachel Buchholz, and if you've been following the news, you know Italy is having a challenge with the virus, and she's right in the middle of it. And her video log, has been featured on the Today Show and CNN. And so she's going to be our featured speaker at our first coffee talk next Saturday, 10 a.m. You heard it here first at NRCOC. There we go. We're going to dive into the Bible because I don't have a whole lot of time, but I got a lot of Bible I want to dive into, and I'm fired up to talk about Jesus and fixing our eyes on Jesus. And even though life is uncertain right now, we can have the simplicity of focusing in on Him. Let's pray. Father, we want to take a moment to breathe emotionally, physically, spiritually, and to really fix our eyes on You at this time. Father, I know people are all over, in living rooms, on their couches, trying to focus and taking the time out of their lives to really center their hearts on You. And I do pray that during this crazy time of uncertainty, Father, that those of us that follow Christ, that we can allow Your light to shine through us, that people can see something different in us, see someone different in us. And that's the power of Jesus, the power of His Spirit. And Father, I do pray for those families that are struggling, that are dealing with tragedy or just fighting the virus, Father, just pray for them, that You can comfort them, strengthen them, and help us all to have the right perspective on all of this. And we pray all this in the name of Your Son, Jesus. Amen. Forgive me, I've started to get allergies at my older age. What's up with that? You know what I mean? I haven't had allergies my whole life, and now I get them. What are you going to do? But amen, I'm going to keep moving, all right? So we're going to look at Matthew chapter 14. Jordan Massey, one of our other ministers here, he mentioned that this would be a great passage to preach on earlier in the week. And I thought, okay, maybe that's what I'll do. And then I was on another webinar later on in the week, and it was mentioned again. So I said, I think this is the passage. So let's look at Matthew 14, starting in verse 22. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of Him to the other side while He dismissed the crowd. After He had dismissed them, He went up on a mountainside by Himself to pray. And later that night, He was there alone. And so here we see Jesus, what is He doing? You see Him just kind of getting His followers in a boat and kind of sending them off. There's this crowd of people. He's dismissing them. And what is He trying to do? He's trying to get some time to pray. He's trying to get away so He can pray. And you may ask, this was Jesus' normal custom, absolutely. But if you look earlier in the chapter, There's a reason he's feeling such a deep need to pray. And earlier in the chapter, he finds out that his own cousin, John, who's known as John the Baptist, John has actually been killed. He was in prison, and it was unrighteous. It was unfair. It was out of the blue. And John, he was a great man. He had courage, and he preached God's message, even if it wasn't popular. And he really had a great following, and he was humble. He told people, I'm not even worthy to be even in the name of Jesus. He's greater than me. Humble leader. Jesus' own cousin taken out. And Jesus, when he heard it, the scripture says when he heard the news, he withdrew. He withdrew by boat, privately, to a solitary place. Now, when you see withdrew, solitary, right, private, you get the picture. I mean, wouldn't you need to get away if you heard news like that? And that's what Jesus wanted to do. He wanted to get some time away. And so he's getting on his boat. He's feeling it. He's trying to process everything. He starts to get closer to the place where he's going. You know, he signed up on his Airbnb, got his nice little spot away from everybody. And he gets closer to the water, to the water's edge. And what does he see? He sees crowds of people. There are all these people. And they're following him on foot. And this is where I just stop and I just go, this is where I know if I was the main character in the Bible, this would not read this way at all. When Jesus landed, he saw a large crowd, the exact opposite of what he wanted, right? Literally the exact opposite. But he sees a large crowd, and what does he do? He has compassion on them and heals their sick. You want to talk about kindness, kids? This is a sign of kindness, isn't it? To me, wow, what amazing compassion. I mean, for me, when I want to get my time away, I get hardcore. Like, I want to be alone. I got boundaries. If you want to come up on me when I'm trying to get my time alone, I might get a little resentful, a little upset, right? But not Jesus. Oh my goodness. This is God in the flesh right here. You see, even though he felt like he needed time alone, he didn't just quarantine his compassion. He didn't quarantine his kindness. He was willing to give even during a time where it was unsettling in his own life, right? And I think that's a great lesson that we can learn from Jesus. Yeah, Jesus wanted to have some social distancing. And you know what? Some social distancing is a good thing, right? We're seeing it with this virus and all that, keeping our distance. But hey, sometimes we need social distancing so that we can go deeper spiritually, okay? And this may be a time in our lives where we may get an opportunity to spend some extra time with God that maybe we didn't have before. Now, you may say, now here's the deal though. Here's the deal. Let's be real. If you are a parent of little kids and you're used to dropping them jokers off at 7:30 in the morning and somebody else hanging out with them and teaching them till 3 or something, but now they're at your house all day, eating up your food, wanting your attention every second. So Jeff, you up there talking about I get extra time to get away. I don't have extra time to get away. Hey, I hear you. I hear you. But at the very least, let's see Jesus as his example. Look how hard he had to fight. I mean, he had to get to a solid, got in a boat, tried to get away, couldn't get away, crowd of people, still figured out how to give. Then he fed the people, right? Because we didn't read that because that's a whole nother sermon. He feeds thousands of people, right? Takes care of them, satisfies them. Then he sends the disciples off, sends the people away. And now finally he got some time. So I'm not saying it's easy. It wasn't easy for Jesus, and it won't be easy for you. And let me just take a moment for those of you in that category. You're a family, you got little kids, because I've been there. Hey, I've been there. It wasn't 40 years ago when I was there. It was recent, and it's not easy. But I got a special message, especially for the dads. Let me break it down. You know what, dads, here's the deal, man. You know, your wife, that's hard. If she's going to be the one that's going to be dealing with the kids a lot, you got your job, I know it's stressful. You're trying to work from your home office. But I'm here to tell you, men, dads, we got to figure out how to give our wives some time. You know, I think this is where we just got to step up and make it happen. You know, sometimes we want to be the man, wear the pants in the family and all that. But let me tell you something. If your wife's, she's getting worn down. If those kids are just hanging on her and wanting her to feed them and do all this stuff, and again, I know you have a hardcore job, I'm sure you do. And if you're working from home and it's a disruption, I get it. But hey, you might even need to talk to your boss and say, sir, I need to help out a little bit more at home. And I think that's something as dads we might need to think about and pray about, because I know when I'm able to do that for my wife, you know what? It helps everybody in the house. And I think it's a Christ-like thing to do. So I'm going to throw that out there for you dads. Fight for your queen. Give her some time to spend with God so she can get replenished as well. But let's keep on moving. So later that night, Jesus is there by himself, finally. He finally gets to pray, gets to process everything he's feeling. His cousins died. It's a tough time. So the boat's already, you know, the brothers, his disciples, they're already, you know, rowing the boat. But what's the problem? The Bible says they're buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. So they're having a rough time of it. All right, so it's not just a smooth sailing, right? And then shortly before dawn, so even a few more hours, so Jesus has been up there for multiple hours praying, processing, dealing. Meanwhile, his disciples are out there in the boat dealing with a storm, and it's hard and it's challenging. And if you know anything about, if you know, many of you might listen to the Bible Project and these things, and they talk about how in the Jewish faith, oftentimes the ocean or the seas were known as this place of chaos and disruption and uncontrollable and evil. And so there are oftentimes the Jews kind of felt these negative feelings about the water. And so if you're a Jew, you're in the boat, the water's going crazy, all these superstitions are coming up, and then all of a sudden you see this figure walking on the water towards your boat. I mean, they're freaking out. Like, is that a phantom? What is that, right? They are losing their minds. And all if we were there, we would have been losing our minds too. That's a scary thing right there, right? But Jesus said, oh, man, I might as well go out there and help these guys out, right? And so he starts walking on water, but they don't know it's him. They don't know it's him. But Jesus says to them, take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid. Take courage. Some of your translations, be of good cheer. Some of your translations, I am. That's a sermon in and of itself right there. He's talking about, hey, I am the I am of God in the burning bush I am, of with Moses I am. I'm the God in the flesh. Another example, like, hey, I got this. Take courage. Be of good cheer. I'm here. You don't have to be all scared and afraid like that, even though the situation around you is crazy. Is the situation around you crazy right now? It's crazy in this world right now. There's a lot going on, a lot of uncertainty, a lot of things that are unsettling, right? And we feel like there's storms in us. There's storms outside of us that we can't control. We don't know how to respond. We're looking. We don't know what's going on. It's grateful to have Jesus say, hey, you know what? Take courage. I'm here, and I'm not just a guy. If you haven't noticed, I'm walking on water right now. Oh, my goodness, right? And so I was on this call. I appreciate Jim Long. I'm going to give you a little exercise to do. Jim Long invited me to this webinar for pastors, you know, this group, Soul Shepherding is the name. You can Google it. And it was like an hour long for pastors, you know, just to deal with the crisis and to kind of fellowship with one another. And the guy talked about this passage, and he said, I want to give you an exercise to do that can really help you. And he said, here's what you can do. You can breathe and pray, like breathing prayers. And you can take parts of Scripture. And so we can take this part of Scripture. He says, breathe in deeply. He says, hold it and breathe out. You breathe in deeply. Breathe out. And then think, when you breathe in, think, don't fear. When you breathe out, Jesus is here. Don't fear. Jesus is here. And I am a guy who, I'm a Princeton grad, English major, intellectual, I reason things, I love to read. That's me, and as I've shared with you over the past year, I've been challenged with things like meditating more, that other side of the spiritual walk. And I'll tell you, I did this over and over this week, and it helped me a lot, dealing with all the news. Every day the number goes up of people with it, the virus, and people die. People's lines at the store don't have what I need in my house and all this stuff, people losing their jobs. My wife can't teach her Zumba class. I mean, it's just craziness, right? Don't fear. Jesus is here. And I mean, I did that over and over again. Some of you might think, man, that's the dumbest thing I ever heard. Some of you might be like, wow, let me try that at least. Because, you know, for me, I need to not just reason about God and understand intellectually. Sometimes I need to feel. I need to get my senses, my breathing, my prayer in line with my breathing. And so that's just something for you to do. And you know what I appreciate? Because some people are intellectual, but some people are in the moment, like they need to feel. Peter's one of those guys, you know? Peter's one of those guys. Jesus out there, Jesus said, it's me. And Peter, like, if it were me in the boat, I'd be like, how do we know that's Jesus? That could be just a phantom fooling us, trying to get us out there on the water. I'd have probably been on that end of things. Peter's like, oh, it's you, Jesus? Well, if it's you, you know what? Tell me to come out there. Tell me to come out to be with you where you are. This fires me up right here. This is not me. I am inspired by a guy like Peter. What kind of faith is that? To be in the middle, dude, what is he feeling? If every sense that he had, if he had a meter on all of his senses, his touch, what is he feeling, right? He's feeling wind. He's feeling water all over him. That's what he's feeling. It would be on the scary side of things, not safe. What about what he's hearing? Scary, not safe. What about what he's seeing? Scary, not safe. Nothing is good. What about internally? He's a fisherman, but he's scared. The guys with him are scared. They've been rowing for hours, and they still haven't gotten to where they've been. They're hurting. They're struggling, right? I mean, what are they feeling, right? The storm is within. The storm is without. And most of us, we get paralyzed. Yeah. We just get paralyzed. But what about Peter? He's like, you know what? If that's you, Jesus, if you can stand in the middle of all this, if you can do it and I'm following you, help me too. Help me get up out of this boat. Get me out of this boat. Because if you can do it, I can do it. I mean, that's not my kind of faith. But I love that some people have that kind of faith. And Peter fires me up. He lifts my spirit. Because if you have to wait for the storm within you to be still, if you have to wait for the storm outside of you to be stilled before you have faith, then what's the use in faith? And why ask, where is Jesus in all this? You know where Jesus is? He is in the middle of it with us. And he is still willing to say, if you believe, come. And Peter's like, I will come. And I mean, I think Peter just deadlocked eye to eye. And I think Peter, for just a few moments, he got out of that boat and he's walking and he's focused on Jesus. One of the most miraculous moments ever. Something you cannot explain. Right? Those of us that like to reason, well, how did the physics of that work? There's no physics here. Jesus is greater than physics. But I appreciate the experiential. Sometimes you just got to experience Jesus. You can't just read about him in a book. Sometimes you got to experience it. Jesus, I want to experience you. And I'm not even going to wait for the storm within me or the storm without me to be stilled. As long as I got my eyes on you, I'm good. That's the kind of faith we need to have in this crazy world with all the uncertainty around us. We can have that simplicity of just focusing on Jesus. And if this were written by people that were just trying to propagate Christianity, right, the story would end right here. This is a great end to the story. Peter got out of the boat and started walking toward Jesus. That would be, like, phenomenal if it ended there. But it doesn't, because Peter's like you and me. Man, you can have moments of faith. But then, you know, well. But when Peter saw the wind, the waves, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. You of little faith, Pete. Man, why? You were on it. You were with me. Why you doubt? You were doing it. And I don't think Jesus was down on him. If anything, I think Jesus was proud of him, but he was like, man, just what could have been? Oh, you know, if this were a fake book, they would have just, all the disciples would have walked on the water, I think. But that's not the point of the Bible. It shows you real people going through real times and real moments. Stay focused on Jesus during this time. It's as simple as that. The storm around us may not be stilled before we have to exhibit faith. Keep giving. Keep serving. I appreciate our family group. I appreciate Sujit and Benita Day. They're our family group leaders. And even through this time of craziness and people not get hurt, Sujit's wife's hours got cut back. I mean, you know, there's real stuff going on. But I appreciate Sujit. He got our family group together, and we signed up, and we helped out two families. Funny, we were trying to help out one, but another family in our family group signed up separately. We didn't realize it. Coach D and Tria, they signed up. So we had two families. And there they are delivering the food to the families. And we don't have to quarantine our kindness. We don't have to quarantine our compassion. We don't have to wait for everything to be perfect before we show our faith to see who Jesus is. We need to show it in this world around us. And those are some of the kind of the life lessons, you know, that I think we can learn. Let's get deeper during this time. Let's take this time to spend some special moments with God, not just intellectually, but try to experience God. Maybe you haven't meditated or do those types of things. You know, try something. And don't quarantine your kindness or compassion. Go out there and give it in any way you can. It may be via text, it may be virtually, but it still counts. Fight to focus. Jesus had to fight to get some time to focus. So will you. And dads, hey, let's focus for those moms, especially with those little kids. That is rough. Don't fear. Jesus is here. So don't be afraid to step out on your faith. And sometimes we do sink a little bit, but it's good to know that Jesus is there to take care of us. So I'm going to call up the band and then Steve up because, you know, this week I got in my car and for whatever reason, you know, my phone just, sometimes just starts playing random music from my shared playlist, right? Sometimes I get in my car and all of a sudden one of my wife's Zumba songs pipes in. I don't know what's going on, right? But this week, this song came on and I started listening to it. And I listened to every word. And one of the verses said, and even though I feel so lonely, like I have never been before, you never said it would be easy, but you said you'd see me through the storm. And I listened to that song and I thought, man, I think I've even heard Stephen Dodd maybe sing this before. I don't know. And, you know, sent text messages. And I appreciate Stephen being willing to do this, like with short notice. So I appreciate this. So let the lyrics of this song just listen, you know, focus in as Jesus can carry us through any storm.
Love will comfort me, and when all hope is gone. Thanks, Steve. Thanks, Ben. Oh, that ministered to my heart. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to say a prayer for the Lord's Supper, and I hope that things have been shared from God's Word and the lyrics of that song can really minister to your heart. And I know in the homes it's a little different, trying to figure out how to take the Lord's Supper, and so I just hope maybe this will give you an opportunity to get all the stuff you need together to have a meaningful time. So I'll go ahead and say a prayer for that, and after I pray, hopefully you can take the Lord's Supper together in your homes, and then we'll have a song that Chase and AP will sing. So let's pray. Well, Father, we're grateful for Jesus to take this time to remember him, to remember that he walked the earth and he heard bad news as well, and he even needed to process it, and he fought for time to be with you. God, help us to remember that about him. And help us to remember that even though his life got disrupted in ways that he didn't want, that he didn't get resentful, but he was kind and compassionate and still gave. Help us to remember that about Jesus. And Father, when we're straining at life and when things are uncertain and when we're scared and afraid, Father, help us to remember that Jesus is willing to walk right there in the middle with us and to even give us comfort and to help us to rise above our circumstances and to stand with us even though the storm might be raging around us. Thank you, Father, that we have a Savior that's willing to stand right there with us. And if there's no better way to understand Jesus than to understand that he walked among us and was even willing to die for us, willing to suffer for us, to hang on that cross for us. And we remember that about him. And we're grateful that that's not the end of the story, that you, by the power of your Spirit, he rose from the dead, and he's still alive, and he's still able to help us now. And we don't have to fear because he's here right now. We don't ever have to feel like we're apart from him. He told us that he would not leave us until the very end of the age. And we're grateful for that. And we're going to take the Lord's Supper. So powerful all over the world, maybe. People are listening to this and taking the bread that represents Jesus' body and drinking of this juice that represents his blood to remember him and to remember that even when we sink and we fall and our focus gets off, that he'll carry us. We can just cry out to him and he'll grab us and he'll carry us through the storms of life. We need that. We need to remember that. And we're grateful for the anchor for our soul in Jesus. We pray in his name. Amen.